Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Translators. How are you today? I'm doing great. I've often received questions about translation agencies, how to find the good ones, how to apply to them, and how to work with them. That's what I want to talk about today. So if you are a newer translator, this is a great episode for you. If you are an experienced translator, you might feel that you know all this and can skip this episode, which is fine. I will talk more about direct clients in an upcoming episode, but perhaps you will get some good insights from this episode too that you didn't know before. You never know. So let's dig in. Oh, and I will make this procedure as easy as possible for people who want to find and apply to agencies. In the show notes, I will provide a list of places where you can look for good agencies, plus a resume template and a cover letter template. So go to the show notes at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/197 to get these. In the search to find a steady stream of clients, sometimes working with a translation agency can be your best bet without ever having to go out and actively market your individual services. Once you've established yourself with a few agencies that need your language combination and specialization, chances are that clients will begin funneling into your business. There are tens of thousands of agencies all over the world who are looking for freelance translators just like you. But not all agencies are created equal. In fact, in my experience, agencies generally come in one of three varieties: smooth operating professional agencies, or big companies that try only focuses on the price, or shady dealers. The first and most recommendable category consists of highly professional and successful organizations that value their translators and view them as business partners. The second category consists of agencies or translation companies that are purely profit-driven and will hire and fire translators every time the wind shifts. These agencies tend to view freelance translators as commodities rather than a team member, and they will try to make you lower your prices whenever possible. The third and final category is the shady dealers. These translation companies have suspicious backgrounds, poor business skills, unethical practices, and are likely never to complete payment for your services. So I recommend that you think of your agency or translation company as a business partner. And before you start a relationship with them, you will want to interview them thoroughly and conduct your own outside research. Maybe not interview them, but you should research them. Choosing the wrong agency can derail your translation business, while choosing the right one will reward you with a steady stream of high-quality projects and a sustainable income that you can be proud of. So always research an agency or translation company before you accept work from them. And never be afraid to dump an agency if you find out that their working style is not what you were hoping for. That is what we need, but how do we find these good agencies then? And what are the steps to apply for work with them or projects? So let's go through this step by step. First, we need to make sure we have the right marketing material ready. You will need an updated good resume, a list of agencies to apply to. You should also research them on Google and payment practices or Blueboard. You should have cover letter template that you can use and adapt. And you should also have an Excel spreadsheet to track them. So on the spreadsheet, you can list the agency name, a brief description, contact information, when and how you first contacted them, necessary follow-up steps, and the end results. So that is what we need. But how do we find them and what are the steps to apply to them? Let's go through this each step by step. First, your resume. Your resume should contain all the necessary information, but it shouldn't be fill up the page with irrelevant content. So what is a good resume then? A good resume is brief, preferably one page, because project managers or vendor managers get so many resumes that they need to be able to briefly glance at them and see if you are the person they need. In the heading of your resume, you should include your name and your language pair. For example, Jane Smith, English into French translator. If you don't have very much experience, then your resume should be no longer than one page and certainly no longer than two pages in any instance. You should also, in the header or high up, list what you specialize in, what areas you specialize in. I don't think your rates should be mentioned in either your email message or your resume. The discussion about rates will come later if you are a good fit. I also think that you don't need to include references in your resume. If someone wants to see them, they will ask. But what you should do is to double check that there are no mistakes whatsoever in your resume. So have another pair of eyes check and proofread your resume. Another great tip is to localize your resume. Did you know, for example, that a resume submitted to a company in the United States should not include your photograph, but a resume submitted to a potential client in France, for example, should include a picture? And that's what we mean by localizing your resume. Your resume should contain all the necessary information, but not fill the page with irrelevant content. If you don't have very much experience, it's good to include other work that you've done before you became a translator. But remember that once you've gained translation experience, this information should be removed. Also remember that every piece of information in both your message and your resume must be very verifiable. So your headers should have your name, your language pair, and your translation expertise or specialization. Other things to include in your resume is your experience then, and your expertise with specific translation software programs, for example, CAT tools or DTP programs, desktop publishing. But don't only list programs that are relevant. If you list, for example, Excel and Word, most people know that anyway, and it's not so relevant. You should have your list your education, and of course, your best contact information. If you are a member of a professional organization, that's a good thing to include. If you've taken continuing education, that is also good to include on your resume. If you have a particular hobby that relates closely to your area of specialization, that is also good to list. But what you shouldn't include in your resume is your personal interests and hobbies that aren't related to freelance translation, or personal information such as your marital status or your age. Now let's go over to the cover letter. The cover letter is usually what accompanies a resume. And these days, most cover letters are just an email. It's a one-page introduction to the resume, or actually it should be shorter than a page. But the question is, do freelance translators really need to worry about cover letters? they're usually written when you apply for permanent positions. But in case of freelance projects and short-term contracts, it's more common to include a proposal letter or email with an offer of services. But still, translation companies use the term cover letter, as in, please send us a cover letter with your CV. But there's nothing wrong in just sending them an email then. Remember that we're offering services and we're not applying for jobs. This distinction will change your mindset and how you perceive your business. If you're applying to a translation company or agency directly through email, the email should be concise, but it should resemble an actual letter that you would send through snail mail. The difference is that rather than attaching the letter in a PDF format, you just write it in the body of the email. So, to create a compelling cover letter that wins you client, you should include relevant information on the company you're contacting and your resume. Keep in mind that prospective clients or agencies are looking for evidence that you are the right person for their needs. So always tailor your cover letter or email in a way that demonstrate that you are aware of who they are and what they're looking for. Only then can you convince them that you are the right person for the job. So a dear sir, madam letter applying for example, a language combination that the company isn't working with is not a good idea, or mass emails. So even minimal research is better than no research at all. Know who your client is, what his or her company does, where they are located, and express this knowledge of the translation company. And also, you should list what you want to achieve with your message, like that you're applying for translation projects or looking to see if you are a good fit for the translation company. Then you should try to dispel their fears by some evidence, like a certification, your education, or examples of projects that you've completed and have references available, etc. And then don't forget to ask them to take action. So help close the deal by including a call to action at the bottom. Perhaps you invite the client to reply with any questions, or say that you will contact them in a week to follow up or something. And don't forget to follow up. Politely conduct a follow-up via email or a phone call within a week of your application. Ask if you can provide any additional information or if you can clarify any questions regarding your CV or application, but keep it friendly and don't nag. Usually it might be that they respond and say that they will add you to the database if you're a good fit, and then you will just get new projects when new projects come along. This can be a long process and can take up to a year. So what should you avoid? I already said that you shouldn't address the letter with dear sir, madam. If you don't know who you're applying to, just a simple hello or to the vendor manager or something like that can work. But if you can find the person you are supposed to contact, it's even better. Of course, you should not include typos or poor grammar. Make sure that you proofread it several times. We are linguists and it should be impeccable. If a translation agency is asking for specific information, that you should of course include it. And don't make the cover letter too long. Just a few paragraphs is enough. Keep in mind that usually the reader has very limited time and short attention span. So it's try to be efficient and summarize your skills. Focus on the added value that you offer and highlight the benefit of working with you over other translators on the market. The purpose of your cover letter is to briefly present who you are and what you can do. It's not very elaborate. It should just want to make them want to open your CV and make sure that you are right for them. Now, I want to go over to how to find good translation companies to work for. You can find lists of agencies or translation companies in translation association directories, on translation portals, and databases for payment practices, and by conducting your own online research. No matter which method you use, make sure you research each agency before you make the first contact. Google the agency's name to see if there's a website with contact information. If there's a website, which there should be, check for careers or freelance jobs or something and see what they want you to do to apply for jobs there. If they want you to fill out an online form or if they want you to send an email, and make sure you include everything that they ask for. After you check their credibility, so you see if they have a website, and then you can Google the agency's name or check their payment history and records on paymentpractices.net or pros.com Blueboard, or ask colleagues if they've heard about the agency. These are all good ways to make sure that they are good, have good standards and are well regarded in the industry. If they are, and they are looking for your language combination and specialization, then you can put them on a list and continue to do some search until you have a list of several agencies. The next step is to contact these. They will all have different preferred method of communication. Some will ask you to fill out a form, or some will ask you to email your resume. If you're asked to contact the agency by email, you can create an email template with the following information. A subject line where that should not be too fancy or creative. I think the simple is best, but it should include relevant information such as your language combination and that you're a freelance translator looking for projects. In the email body, you should state that you would like to work for them as a freelance translator. Highlight your experience, accomplishments, degrees, and your field of expertise, preferably with some examples. But try to keep it brief, only to two paragraphs. And then a conclusion and signature. List your website if you have one and your contact information, and ask them to check it out or contact you for further information. And then after this, in your master Excel agency list, you should put in the agency that you've contacted and follow up with them in a week or so if you haven't heard back. You can ask if they have received your email and if they have any questions. That's the procedure, but you don't have to follow up too much or too often. That can become disturbing or irritating. So those were the steps. You have a good resume, you have a good cover letter template, you know who to contact, and you apply to them in the way that they prefer. Then you follow up and keep track of who you've applied to. I strongly advise against using purchased lists of agencies and spamming them with mass email campaigns containing your resume. Your goal is not really to reach out to hundreds and thousands of agencies with your resume. Your goal is to professionally and strategically target agencies that you believe would be most interested in working with you. So those were the steps for applying. And I highly recommend that like I said before, take a few hours to research potential translation companies. Try to get a list of 100 agencies that pass the criteria mentioned above. Contact them by their preferred method and follow up. So, eventually you will get a positive response and you will get a job offer. How can we, now that we have a job offer and a client, make sure that we keep this relationship as fruitful and long-lasting as possible? Here are some practical tips and best practices. The first one is, of course, to always deliver your best quality work. Your reputation as a translator will be determined by the quality of the translations you produce. In order to be the go-to translator for a translation agency, you must consistently send them high-quality work. Most translation services providers are bombarded daily by freelance translators sending in resumes or calling. So if you deliver a subpar translation, you will likely be cut from the list. Because the hard truth is that the translation service provider can easily drop you for another freelancer. So this is easier said than done. The best way I've found is just not to take on too much work or work late at night or something where your attention span is not the best or you are so rushed that you don't have time to go through it an extra time, go through the translation one more time. Another truth or another fact is that translation companies prefer to work with the same translators again and again. It makes it easier for them. So this is good news for you if you are already on their list, but it makes it tough for those trying to get the work. So the bottom line is that if you want to have a consistent flow of projects from a translation company, you must deeply value your place in their list and make sure that each and every translation and communication is as good as you possibly can. So who determines the level of quality then? The quality can be a bit personal and vague. It's intangible and subjective. But even given that it's subjective, there are certain guidelines that you can use in order to not commit any obvious errors. So make sure the grammar and style meets the highest standards, and only work into areas that you feel comfortable in and have subject knowledge about. Some of the best translators do exactly this. Say no to projects that they feel will not reflect their best work. So don't feel that you have to take up on all the work that is offered to you by this agency. If you turn down work, it will actually earn you more respect from this translation company because it demonstrates that you're professional and you don't step over any boundaries or limits of your capabilities. If you, on the other hand, take on work that you're not qualified for and produce a substandard translation, the results can be devastating because the agency will not be pleased, the end customer will not be pleased, and the agency will not be pleased with you. What else can you do? Always, always meet your deadlines. It's absolutely critical to meet the language provider's deadlines. Sometimes they will try to build in some buffer, but if you should have negotiated this in advance. If you have a deadline, you have to keep the deadline. Translators who consistently return projects behind schedule are viewed as unprofessional and unreliable. And late projects affect clients who are often in urgent need of the translations. But even in cases where the urgency is not real, agencies are much likely to use translators who consistently return projects late. Another good idea is to be a little bit tech savvy. Make sure that you use proper formatting. Send it back in the same format as you received it. You should also have knowledge of some CAT tools or computer-aided translation tools. And don't take on translation projects if you cannot complete the formatting. You should also be able to understand what software may be needed to complete a project. If you have specialized formatting needs, such as brochures or advertising copy, desktop publishing software may be needed, but a lot of CAT tools actually have capability to format these days. It's very important also that you are open and honest about what you know and don't know. If you don't feel comfortable with a project for any reason, if it's subject matter, deadline, or formatting, you must let the company know. You will earn respect for this and you won't risk losing projects unless you this all the time, of course. This leads us to another point. You should communicate responsibly. We're all busy, so it's best to limit phone calls and emails to what's necessary to complete the project. Constant communication may limit language service providers' ability to respond. But if you have questions and are unsure about the translation, you should ask either by email or phone call. And another, of course, great tips is to go the extra mile. As in most things in life, you will be a standout if you go above and beyond and provide extra service. For example, if you spot an error in the source document and alert your project manager, he or she can notify the client, and this will lead to a stronger client relationship for them, which can lead to more work from you in the future. That was just one example of going the extra mile. There are several others where you can, if it's just a sentence, maybe you can provide it as a complimentary service if it's just an addition to a bigger project or something like that. Always be polite and focus on customer service. So as a freelance translator, you have the unique ability to choose the type and amount of work you take on, as well as where and when you do it. So be realistic about the work you can and cannot produce, and be honest with your translation service provider. You will be respected for knowing both your capabilities and your limits. If you're honest, professional, and consistently produce great work, whatever translation service provider you choose to work with will keep coming back to you. So there you have it. How to find good translation agencies, how to apply to them, what material you need to apply to them or for your marketing campaign, and how to successfully work with them. I hope you found this episode helpful. Don't forget to go to the show notes at marketingtipsfortranslators.com to download the resume template, cover letter template, and find a list of places to look for translation agencies. If you follow this procedure, you will have plenty of work from agencies in no time. But remember, it's not enough to apply to just a few. You need to apply to at least 50 to find some good agencies for you. So go out and go get them. Thank you for listening. Cheers! Hey there! Before you go, I wanted to tell you about an upcoming workshop on September 23rd. This 3-hour workshop is for all of you who want more work from translation agencies. If you've applied to a lot of translation agencies and not heard back, the reasons can be many. But after coaching and consulting many freelance translators, I have noticed some easy things that you can do right now to increase your chances. So in this workshop, I help you develop a resume that sells and a cover letter that makes project managers want to open your resume and register you in their database. I also give you instructions and tips on how to create and optimize a translation database profile. And I also give you resources for where to find good agencies to work for and tips for how to apply to them. Get immediate feedback and ask questions in this workshop. Learn how to avoid all the mistakes and get work from good translation agencies. These are all tried and true techniques from my own experience, plus from helping many other freelance translators. This is a live workshop where you will get instant feedback and answers to your questions. So it's a limited space, so sign up early. You can also get the recording. So go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/marketing-workshop-agencies for more information and to sign up. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.